Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven, but struck his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say to you, this man went down into his house justified rather than the other. Words taken from the Gospel for this 10th Sunday after Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God sent not his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world may be saved by him. St. John's Gospel. God sent not his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world may be saved by him. The mission of every priest is precisely to make this his majesty's work of salvation, present and effective everywhere in the world. Thus, the reason the church is called Catholic, it is to be everywhere. One of the reasons it's called Catholic. And that is why the Curia of ours would say things like this: without the priest, the death and passion of our Lord would be useless. It is the priest who continues the work of the redemption on earth. Following closely the Good Shepherd, this curé of ours, Jean-Marie Vianney, spent his life searching for lost lambs to lead them back to the fold. Often he would even come out of his confessional to pick one out of the in line in particular, or he would even go to where they were lodging during their stay in ours, knock on their door and deal with their question and help them overcome some obstacle. So much in need of God's mercy were they. One day he said, misfortune to a priest who remains silent when he sees God outraged and souls wandering away. He was particularly attracted to the conversion of sinners. His weeping over lost souls was heartbreaking. It is so bad, he said, to lose a soul that has cost our Lord so much. This good shepherd in him flowed from his love of God and his hatred for evil. Once he said, by sin we chase the good Lord from our souls. We scorn the good Lord. We crucify him. We defy his justice. We sadden his paternal heart. We steal from him adoration and homage which are due only to him. Sin casts frightening shadows into our mind that block the eyes of the soul. It obscures the faith like thick fog hides the sun from our eyes. It prevents us from going to heaven. Oh, sin is a great evil. In another place, he said, ask the idle, the gluttonous, the immodest, what they do every day. If they answer you according to what they are really doing, they will say, we are crucifying the good God. St. John Vianney. With such an understanding of the reality of sin and evil, it should not surprise us that he spent so much time hearing confessions. Now, there are three sources of trial for the church, St. Thomas tells us. He says, number one, external persecution. You can think of the early ages of the church, all the martyrs. But we have it now. It's coming back. Number two, the undermining of the truth from within by heresy and the spreading of error. We have that too. Lots of that today. And number three, corruption of members through sin. Corruption of members through sin. In an effort to keep our wits about us in this time of trial for the church, we have been looking into these things over the last few months. Let's consider a little today about number three, with St. John Vianney as our helper. It has been said that the greatest miracle of the Kyrie of Ours was his confessional besieged night and day. The saint spent three quarters of his existence, amazing, three quarters of his existence in the confined space of a confessional. From November to March, he spent no less than 11 to 12 hours there every day, and during good weather, from 16 to 18 hours. In winter, when his frozen, cracked fingers were too numb, he burned as best he could a bit of newspaper to warm them up. As for his feet, in his own words, "From All Saints to Easter, I do not feel them." His feet were so numb that when he took his socks off in the evening, he would sometimes peel off the skin of his heels at the same time. I often wonder what the feet of St. John the Baptist looked like after days and days of standing in the waters of the River Jordan, hearing confessions. It says in the Bible, all of the country went out to him. He was there for a long time. The Kyrie's full name is Jean-Baptiste Marie Vianney. Jean-Baptiste. He is well named. In order to save souls, he was ready for anything. He was in the habit of saying, to really have one's sins washed away, one must really make a good confession. So, first of all, to make a good confession means that it is necessary to prepare oneself by a serious examination of conscience. Good Christians make an examination of conscience an act of contrition every evening. If you're not doing that, you should. Every day, kneel down before going to bed and examine your conscience and make an act of contrition. Now, in regards to the sacrament, St. Alphonsus instructs us thus. This examination consists in making a careful search in order to call to mind the sins committed since the last confession that was properly made. He adds, if after making a careful search, a person honestly forgets a certain sin, but has general sorrow for all his sins, what he has forgotten in confession is pardoned. And he is only bound to confess it at his next confession. Well, there's no getting out of it. If you remember what your sin is, you have to confess it next time. Scrupulosity being a different case, says St. Alphonsus. And also, we should add, we should confess real sins, not possible sins. I might have, I could have, no. I did this, I did that. And if they're big, we do it in kind and number. Now, as we all know, when people failed to examine their conscience completely, St. John Mary Vianney helped them with his gift of insight. He had one of those gifts being discussed in 1 Corinthians in the lesson today. And this is one reason why, after some time, about 80,000 people a year came to see him and have him hear their confession. Why? Because this is the path to pardon and peace, a clear confession of all our sins. In kind and number, if they're mortal. This is the clear path to friendship with God that is required to be with God forever in heaven and with all the saints. This is required to keep our minds clear in times like this that are so confused, to help the church overcome this trial. Except in special cases like those making a general confession, he was expeditious and he required a like conduct from his penitents. I would also ask, if you live nearby, give way on Sunday, if possible, to those who have to drive far away. Sometimes the confession lines are long, and so it's good to give way, if you live locally, to those who drive far. You can always go to confession during the week. If you live close by, let's be attentive to the needs of others if we're able. Once a man who was away from the sacraments for 39 years took 20 minutes in his confession. 39 years in 20 minutes, that's pretty good. His advice was often very simple and profound. To a bishop, he said, love your priest much. Come back, St. John Vianney. Come and hear all the confessions of our bishops and tell them, love your priests very much. To another, he said, my boy, you are damned. What did he mean by that? You are damned if you do not amend your life and follow my instructions. Can you imagine that, hearing that from St. John Vianney? My boy, you are damned. Regardless of the person he dealt with, he spoke out according to the church's teaching, saying, it is not lawful. Often he would say very tenderly, ah, what a pity, what a pity, as they were confessing their sins. He wept much in the confessional, even saying, if only I could go to confession for them. He could be very tough. To one lady, he insisted that she consign all her bad books, probably romance novels, to the flames before he would absolve her. I wonder what he would do today. Can you imagine the cure here? Take that computer, take that phone, take that whatever it is, and destroy it. But. He rarely gave big penances, but rather gave them small ones, while he himself would perform the rest later. The rosary was a favorite penance of his. He wanted them to carry it on their person, saying, a good Christian is always armed with his rosary. Mine never leaves me. He goes on, sin ties man to his shameful bonds. According to the words of our Lord, whoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. Sin ties man to his shameful bonds. We become slaves of these things. Indeed, sin leads to sin. It generates vice and darkens the intellect and deadens the conscience. Sacramental absolution, received with the necessary disposition, leads the soul to true interior freedom and gives it the power, the force necessary to conquer bad habits. It is beautiful to think that we have a sacrament that cures the wounds of the soul, exclaims the cure. He also said, in the sacrament of penance, God shows us and shares with us his mercy even unto infinity and to eternity. You have seen my candle at night. Early in the morning, it burned out. Where is it? It no longer exists. It is gone. In the same way, the sins for which one has received absolution no longer exist. They are gone. King David says in Psalm 102, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our iniquities from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so hath the Lord compassion on them that fear him. How far is the east from the west? Infinity. The sacrament of confession brings a true spiritual resurrection, a restitution of divine friendship. One of its secondary fruits is joy of the soul and peace of mind. Are we upset? Are we struggling? Lost our inner peace and joy? Feel it waning? Time for confession. There were many penitents in ours who experienced this peace. One of them, an old fallen away, hadn't been to confession for more than 30 years, admitted that after acknowledging his sins to the good cure in confession, he felt an indefinable well-being. Now, in order for this full effect to come about, before giving absolution, the holy cure, along with all good confessors, required sufficient signs of conversion. Two things absolutely necessary: sorrow and amendment of life. Sorrow and amendment of life. First of all, true contrition is required, true sorrow. That is, the sorrow for having sinned, resting on supernatural motives, for sin violates charity towards God, the supreme being. It caused the sufferings of the Redeemer and causes us the loss of eternal happiness. So one day the holy priest answered a poorly prepared penitent thus, "Your repentance is not coming from God, nor from sorrow for your sins, but only from the natural fear of hell." You're afraid of pain. You don't care about God. Sorrow must be sincere and it must be supernatural. That is, it must arise not from a natural but a supernatural motive. It has offended the infinite goodness of God, or because we have deserved hell and lost heaven, says St. Alphonsus. The firm commitment to sin no more is also necessary. It is also obvious that the confession of sins must include the serious intention of not committing sin in the future. If this disposition of the soul were lacking, there is in reality no repentance, and you won't receive absolution unto the cleansing of your soul, but rather add another sin upon your sin. The intention not to sin anymore implies the will to put in place the appropriate means and, if necessary, to renounce certain behaviors. In this regard, the Kyrie of Ars showed a firmness in the face of criticism, as when he required that his penitents abandon dancing, at his time, drinking and indecent dress and other like practices. He was insistent. He was unflinching. Once again, I wonder what he would do in our time. St. Alphonsus says, "No one can receive absolution unless he firmly resolves to shun occasions of sin." St. Alphonsus then gives a way to know if you really are truly open to amending your life. He says, "St. Teresa of Jesus has given us an excellent method for knowing whether a soul has true sorrow for sin and amendment of life. If one has a sincere purpose to sin no more and would be content to lose all things rather than the grace and friendship of God," there it is, willing to lose all things rather than the grace and friendship of God, "let him have confidence," says St. Teresa, "for then there is no doubt that he has true sorrow and amendment for his sins." St. John Vianney would often shed tears for those whose hearts were too hard to be truly sorry for their sins. He said, "I weep because you do not weep." Dearly beloved, pray today at Mass for an increase in the fear of the Lord. The more we fear God, the more we will be sorry and be willing to amend our lives. The Kyrie goes on, "Ah, my children, at the sight of that cross, let us conceive once for all the malice of sin and the abhorrence in which we should hold it. Let us enter into ourselves and see what we ought to do to repair our past sins. Let us implore the clemency of the good God, and let us all together say to him from the bottom of our heart, 'O Lord, who art here crucified for us, have mercy on us. Thou comest down from heaven to cure souls of sin. Cure us, we beseech thee. Cause our souls to be purified by approaching thy tribunal of penance. Yes, O God, make us look upon sin as the greatest of all evils. And by our zeal in avoiding it and in repairing those we have had the misfortune to commit, let us one day attain to the happiness of the saints." In another place he said, "All those who receive the sacraments are not saints, but the saints are always taken from among those who receive them frequently." On another occasion, finally, he said, The sins we try to hide always reappear. To hide one's sins well, one must confess them well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.